Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the Business Marketing Club. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by B2B marketers for B2B marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we've got almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. But if you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. In this episode, I'll be talking networking with Head of Marketing at Circus Street, Lauren Heaton, Product Marketing Manager at TalkWalker, Andrew Ainsworth, Managing Director of Up B2B, Max Clark, and CMO of Red Store, Gareth Case. Lots to like, share, and follow here, so let's get started. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every topic in business marketing land. And we've reached N. N stands for networking. Four experts will talk on the topic today, starting with the head of marketing at Circus Street, Lauren Heaton. Lauren, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really looking forward to it. I always love discussing with the Business Marketing Club, so thanks for having me on today. So I wanted to cover really three main areas that I think would be useful for marketers today to understand about business marketing in relation to networking and how to approach it. So, you know, I thought I'd talk today about, you know, how networking can really support businesses in their marketing function, you know, actual tactics and ways to deliver it, how they can do it, and then what kind of benefits they can actually see and the impact it can have on the business if delivered correctly and effectively. So I thought I'll just dive right in with the networking and how it can really support businesses. You know, I think the biggest thing about it is it's cost effective. You know, it's one of the lower costs of all the marketing channels is networking. You might only have to spend for a small membership fee or the price even to get you to a networking event. Or of course, in the world of COVID, online free webinars, which are endless and ever coming. So, you know, it's really a cost effective perspective. And also, you know, it's a great tactic to assist. For me, it's the biggest place I use networking is in our referral marketing objective. So for referral marketing, the majority, it's all about relationships. It's all about relationship building and speaking with people and getting to know them and finding out how you can help them. So I find it helps a great bit for referral marketing efforts. And it's just a really great way to get access to decision makers that you may not be able to talk to otherwise. So for me, you know, networking is great for professional and personal use. So I send out a lot of our sales team and marketing to networking events with the goal of our marketing objective, but also for the fact that they may meet a wider business group and networking that can assist them down the line in a way they may not have seen. So I think that's really a great way of how it can support businesses and a lot of different objectives that you may have for marketing. And, you know, how to do it is the area that I think is the trickiest one. And it's really trial and error for me in my career of how I've kind of tested against networking. But I think the biggest thing is to identify, you know, kind of what business objective you're trying to get the networking to help with. So for instance, this could be for helping a business, trying to do a business objective. It could be trying to get into a specific sector that you don't have awareness in, or you know your target market is in, or a persona-based one. If you're trying to get into a very specific group within a sector specifically. So examples for that might be if you have a business objective of wanting to launch into a new market such as the US, and that's a brand new area and you're trying to figure that out. There's a great group called the British American Business Group, and they really, it is a networking association that helps businesses across both sides of the pond get to know each other, learn from each other, you know, leverage different ideas and business tactics. And it's been really phenomenal because they host events in both New York and London, so both groups can attend. So that might be a great tactic for someone with a business objective of getting into into a new market and how they can use networking. If it's sector specific, you know, we target a lot of CPG or FMCG businesses. So for instance, a digital grocer event we have that we work with them, they've got a great group with webinars and breakout groups and newsletters that we do with networking in that wider group. Or persona, yourself, Dave, the business marketing club. For instance, if you're trying to get to know into the marketing group, this has been a phenomenal club to be a part of. You guys have such a wide variety of marketers, and I've met so many people through your guys' events. So I think it really depends what kind of group and what marketing objective you're trying to tackle with your networking, which is a great one. In the world of COVID, I feel like we still absolutely have to bring it up. I've seen some really great networking tactics in regard to webinars. So after a webinar, hosting some breakout groups afterwards with specific topics that people can go drop into. So it's not that awkward silence of hi, trying to chat. There's an actual topic they can discuss in small groups of 3 to 5 people. And that's actually proven really great for networking and building relationships. But of course, we're all hoping that face-to-face comes back eventually at some point. And I think roundtables have been a really great example. I wanted to highlight one that I attended about a year and a half ago with one of our fellow BMC club and speakers you've had on your podcast, which is Carla Rivershaw from Turtle. She hosted a phenomenal roundtable that I was invited to, and I got to meet about 20 plus other like-minded professionals. And actually, from a business perspective, we utilized and were able to work together a lot and after that event. So I think that's a great showcase of how that can be done in a face-to-face perspective. But I think, you know, and then there's also the new ones such as Clubhouse, which can be pro or con for marketers, depending on which group you're talking to. But at the end of the day, it is a great networking tool. It's drop-in chat, very conversational, very light touch. And that can be a great one as well, especially for smaller businesses that have the kind of time and stuff to go into that group. But I think the biggest thing to remember in regards to networking, no matter how you do it, is that it's about relationship building, and it's a very slow and steady channel for marketing. And, you know, you may not see a return on investment for 12 to 15 months or even longer. And that you also want to remember at the end of the day that it's about a two-way street. You know, you don't want to go into a networking environment with that sales perspective on. I always have to coach this to sales before every event, but it's really about just going in, meeting people, talking about what they do, how they do it, what they're trying to achieve. Is there any way you can help them? And really always waiting for an ask at the very end, or even not at that event, way down the line before you ask for something. So I think that's the biggest thing, is it's really a relationship builder, which ties in great with referral marketing. But it's a long one, but it's a great one. It's kind of the very, very top of your funnel and most cost effective channel, I believe. And then when we go into kind of what impact it can make, I think that's the thing that's the most exciting about networking for marketing, is that you really don't know where they're going to come from, where the leads or the benefits might come from, how beneficial they can be, how long it might be before you see that benefit. And they can come from anywhere. There's a contact we have within one of our clients who our co-founder met several years ago at an event, and he's actually now gone to several Fortune 500 companies throughout the years and introduced our business and product at every single one of those businesses. So that's been a very long, very fruitful return on investment of that one relationship. You know, there was also several years ago, there was a Christmas event that we were doing at a networking event, and we had our team and we got paired with another group. And it turns out that the person in there was in charge of a very big decision making at one of the companies that we had been targeting. And that immediately came through. And so it was a very quick ROI. So we never anticipated that a Christmas, you know, pub quiz event could result in that so quickly, but it did. So I think that's a great thing. The biggest thing is just get out there, start small, pick one or two groups that you want to target, start seeing how it works for your business, you know, where you see the benefits, where you have the flexibility, and really just give it a test and get out there. So, but at the end of the day, I think it's a phenomenal channel for marketing. I think it's really great for relationship building and for referral and building evangelists. And it's also a great way potentially for hires. You know, I've met a lot of people at networking events that I ended up hiring or being hired by down the road. So even though your goal is definitely how it can assist your business, I think there's also great benefits to yourself personally in a professional manner with networking as well.
Lauren Heaton, thank you very much. Our third networking expert is product marketing manager at Talkwalker, Andrew Ainsworth. Andrew, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for having me. Hi, everybody. Yes, I've got about 5 minutes to talk to you a little bit about my experiences in networking as a marketing professional. So a little bit about me to begin with. I've got about 10 years experience in B2B marketing across two organizations, and I've just recently joined a new organization at the time of this going out. So that's some new information as well. So the way I wanted to approach this was almost starting at the beginning of when I was a marketing executive or a graduate, and then coming through into today when I'm in a bit more of a senior role. As a graduate, the most important thing you can ever do is to attend seminars, webinars, case study talks that your universities might be putting on. Anything that gets you in front of a decision maker is absolutely critical. And also make sure you come across as human. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a bit more detail, and that notion of human, because the term human in marketing is critical. You market to human beings, and even more so when you're networking. There can be a mistake that people might make where it becomes too formalized, too scripted, too much like a CV that's being written, and not natural, and not with a flow that people will actually kind of want to engage with as well, want to hear what your ideas are. But the most important thing at this stage is to listen and ask questions. And when you're young and you're fresh out of university, you've got thousands of ideas, and you're desperate to impress, and you're desperate to tell. But sometimes it's good to ask. Ask why. Ask how somebody made that decision. Ask what were the challenges that they faced, and what were their achievements, and how did they get to that specific position? Listening is such an important attribute when networking, especially when you're in a more junior position, because you will be surrounded often by people with 10, 20 or 30 years of experience. And what they'll have to say will inevitably have an impact on your decision making and your career going forward as well. So then once you've actually established yourself and got yourself into a role, and I made the decision to move down from Leeds, where I grew up, to London, like many marketeers do. And then it begins a chance for you basically to join networking societies, such as the BMC, or to actually attend conferences, B2B marketing. There's a whole myriad of different conferences out there in London. And the UK's marketing scene, I know there's a good scene in Bristol, I think there's a scene in Manchester, and there's some stuff in Leeds as well. But London is still number one. And in my opinion anyway, it's still where the best marketeers seem to navigate towards, and especially the ones that are all aiming for the same things, often quite career driven. And you can surround yourself with people of a similar mindset, and that becomes incredibly important too. So from my perspective, not only when you become networking, you actually start to make friends. So people who are like-minded to yourselves, who have made a decision to move to London or any other city in the country. And it's a really, really important thing to do, because you want to be able to sometimes attend conferences and not always just be in the same group as your colleagues. You always want to try and put yourself out there a little bit and actually be brave enough to go by yourself. It can be a really daunting thing to do, because you won't necessarily know anybody, but the one thing that you'll have on your side is that everybody at that networking event will at least have an interest in B2B marketing. So you've already got one thing in common with them. So even if your first question is why did you get into B2B marketing, you've ticked the first box, and you can't really go much further wrong than that. And then once you've built those networks, it becomes a case of being able to then socialize via LinkedIn. And I think we've all seen this during the pandemic more, people being able to post and share stories. And the pandemic's had a really interesting impact on networking. And because it's changed it. Face-to-face networking hasn't been possible in the same ways for the last 15 to 16 months, but it doesn't mean that you can't still connect with your peers from different organizations. And I'd say use social media, use LinkedIn, use your messaging functionality to build out your own network. So don't always rely on the organized groups. They're fantastic, but remember to think about yourself a little bit and to put yourself out there too. Use the organized groups as a way of finding people, but then begin to look for different people in different roles and reach out to them on social media. And if you were looking for some mentor programs and mentor schemes, the best way to do that is to secure that through networking with peers, or by attending webinars, or by putting in questions and just asking people if they would have the time to speak with you. And I found that to be really, really useful for me in the last 10 years. And so to sum up, really, I would say for me, networking in the last 10 years, pre-pandemic and during pandemic, is be human, be true to yourself, but also have the passion that you show for B2B marketing. Take that to every single networking event you ever do, and you will make lifelong friends. You'll make people who will help you with your careers. And I think that's a really, really important thing, and especially from my perspective as somebody that moved to a big new city by myself, didn't know that many people. It really did help me to develop as a person and as a marketer.
Andrew Ainsworth, thank you very much. Our third networking expert is Managing Director of Up B2B, Max Clark. Max, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the introduction, and also for giving me this opportunity to share a few of my own thoughts around networking and its role in B2B. So I think it's safe to say that networking is one of the oldest forms of B2B marketing, and word of mouth referral is still one of the most effective routes to conversion, as we all know it. So time invested in focused networking, I think the clue there is in the word focused, in my opinion, is time well spent. I've worked in the B2B space all of my career, which is over 25 years. Yes, ouch. And for most of this time, I think networking was seen as the job of sales and senior business people. But networking in 2021 is an everyday part of life and business for anyone looking to build their profile and career. And social platforms have really opened up this opportunity to all. So in its formal definition, just taking a step back, networking is about finding opportunities to interact with people with a view to engaging with them for mutual benefit. Just as a short history pit stop, networking first started to emerge as social practice alongside the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This was as a need emerged for small businesses to collaborate and trust a wider number of people to help them trade outside of their immediate location. Network in its earliest manifestation was driven by a desire to risk share and resource pool to make more profit. And the clubs and associations you belong to gave a really strong indication of your underlying business integrity and values. And I think that holds true today, really. Fast forward to 2021, and networking as we know it is a mainstream business activity with social and online channels giving us all access to a global network, potential contacts at our fingertips. I'm going to admit it at this point that I'm not really a prolific networker, but I do like to build connections with like-minded people who echo my business values and who have a genuine desire to share knowledge and offer help freely with no real expectation in return. And I think that's a really important point for me. Networking is not about collecting contacts like FIFA cards and expecting an immediate benefit. It's about planting seeds by helping others so that over time your network may grow into something really fruitful. I think many listening to this podcast will have attended at some point in their career a business networking event armed with a pocket full of business cards, putting on your best smile with the aim of selling yourself or your business. But my experiences over the years have taught me that networking is a very personal thing. Some people love meeting new people, whereas to others, a room or screen full of strangers can be their worst nightmare. So it's really important to think about what works for you and to play to your strengths. Business networking should be fun and enjoyable, not forced. And there are so many different ways now that you can connect with your peers without having to sell your soul to a room full of people who may or may not have rapport with you. The role of online networking has grown exponentially in recent years, and obviously with the pandemic restrictions in place over the last 18 months, we've all been forced to rethink how we meet new people to sustain and build our networks. Zoom, Teams, and other online chat channels have become the go-to group networking destinations. They've enabled us to stay connected and to access knowledge share, but I'm sure I can't be the only person craving some face-to-face human business interaction right now. Yes, I even can't wait to step back into a room full of strangers. And I still believe that when it comes to networking, meeting a person in person builds rapport and trust in a way that online leaflets will never quite match. Virtual networking events do, however, have some major benefits in terms of geographic reach and instant accessibility to meet new potential contacts. I've joined events in the last year and met more international contacts to build my network than ever before. And this has been really useful in helping me solve some immediate business challenges. One key benefit has been the ability to access on-the-ground advice about local markets and suppliers, in some cases using the networks of my close connections. At this point, let's bring in LinkedIn, which is without doubt the social platform of choice for business networking, with an astonishing, and this surprised even me, global membership base of almost 750 million. The US has over 171 million users and leads the league table, with India and China next, 69 million and 51 million respectively. The UK has almost 30 million users, which is phenomenal if you think about this in terms of the size of our small nation. I use LinkedIn daily to keep in touch with my network, and I make time to offer help where I can, be it contacts looking to recruit, others looking for some advice or opinion, or people getting in touch directly to make a genuine new connection. I must admit that I'm much more discerning about accepting LinkedIn connection requests than I was when I first joined the network. I generally don't connect until I've met or spoken to someone, or unless a trusted connection has recommended me via an introduction. So I'm very conscious about random requests with scripted messages, the type we all receive through email, obviously. And quality over quantity is really my guiding mantra when it comes to LinkedIn. So with this in mind, I thought it may be interesting to share a few practical tips about how I approach networking and build my connections within the B2B space. So as mentioned earlier, first, it's critical to work out what your networking aim is. Are you looking to build your industry profile and personal branding? Are you looking to build your knowledge base through shared content? Or are you looking for your next career move? Trying to build awareness of a cause even? Or are you simply looking to network with people to plant some seeds for future business ventures, recommendations and referrals? Whatever it is you want to get out of the time you invest in networking, having a focus and an aim is so important. Let's face it, we could all easily while away endless hours engaging with people who are more focused on receiving than listening. So it's important to work out who fits into the profile of network you want to build and use this as your guiding principle. Be clear about what I call your sphere of influence and the profile of contacts you want to include in this. So once you've identified your tribe, you next need to give some real thought as to where they hang out in terms of channels, events, groups, associations, and job and industry specific locations. This is where research can pay dividends in keeping your networking laser focused. I find the more specialist an event I join, the more I make meaningful contacts, be this online or at in-person events. Again, if you can get your hands on attendee lists prior to any events, you can identify any potential like minds in advance. The BMC and B2B marketing events have always been great for connecting with fellow B2B marketers and sharing our challenges and contacts, as well as being great networks for content and knowledge share. I've also recently joined an independent agency owners community founded by the authors of a great book called Agencynomics. I wasn't aware of this network until early this year, but it's proving to be a really great source of collaboration and inspiration. So always look around to find the less obvious networks and groups and ask your current contacts for ideas too. And if you can't find a suitable group to promote your cause, then start a group or even host a low-key event. Invite people you'd like to network with. But don't expect too much from your networking efforts in the short term. Networking really is a long game, and if you're looking for instant gratification from new connections, you may end up disappointed. Focus instead on helping others from a genuine position of support, and your networking will start to build results, trust me. I've already made this point, but for me, the key to networking success is really about quality, not quantity. We're all increasingly time poor in our working and home lives. So never be afraid to step away from networking groups or contacts which prove to be just too onerous or time consuming. You really need to feel the vibe of any networking groups you decide to join and enjoy the benefit of your time invested. So if you feel you're constantly giving and not gaining any inspiration or give back, it may be time to discreetly pull away, and don't feel guilty or afraid to do so. Some of the best networking groups I've joined during the pandemic have been highly focused roundtable discussions. I've made some great connections and started to build good relationships and rapport as a result of shared interests. WhatsApp can be a great way to enable you to stay in touch and build relationships after such events. So think about whether you could set up a WhatsApp group as a moderator and perhaps suggest this to the group at the event. This is really useful for building relationships outside of the event, and most people are very responsive to messages via WhatsApp. Try to dedicate regular time to your networking efforts and be consistent. It's so easy to lose front of mind presence and connection with your network of contacts when the day job takes over. I see joining events and keeping in touch with my network as part of my business self-care routine. So I make it a priority to find time away from the inbox to maintain relationships, which are really important to me and have been built over many years. Finally, have some fun. I've met some truly great and inspiring people through my networking efforts, and I'm constantly grateful for any referrals I receive from my contacts. So stay true to your focus, network without expectation, and focus on giving more than you receive, and your B2B network will thrive. If you're a B2B marketer and you would like to build your network by adding a fellow B2Ber, feel free to contact or get in touch via LinkedIn. I'm always happy to share knowledge or offer advice freely and without expectation.
And it's great advice too. Max Clark, thank you very much. Our final networking expert is the CMO at Redstore, Gareth Case. Gareth, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thank you, Dave, and thanks for inviting me to come and speak about networking. Networking's a bit of a funny one, really. I mean, you know, if you think about it, the fundamental ethos hasn't really changed for probably many thousands of years, and yet, you know, the methods by which we can network have changed rapidly over the last 10 years, certainly. And I'm thinking, you know, LinkedIn and those sorts of platforms that have emerged. I guess, you know, let's look at why we network and why we should network. There's a very well-known business coach and speaker in the US called Bob Berg. And one of his quotes is, "The single greatest people skill is a highly developed and authentic interest in the other person." And that's really interesting when you think about it. And for me, from a networking point of view, that's where most people actually go wrong. There seems to be this kind of common misconception that networking is all about self-gain and, you know, a focus of, you know, what's in it for me. And the thought process is often along the lines of, you know, if I'm investing my time in coming to your event, you know, a networking event, then I should be rewarded with something. You know, someone should potentially buy the product that my company sells, or someone should be offering me a job, or, you know, someone should help me do, you know, one of many things. And if they don't, then, you know, many people think that they've wasted their time. Now, you know, this isn't necessarily strictly untrue. Otherwise, why would we bother doing it in the first place? But, you know, we've really got multiple options when it comes to human interaction, and we choose the network for our own self-gain one way or another. But the problem is that people go into it with that demand, with that, you know, almost a right, you know, for it to have a positive outcome. So for a moment, for those that are listening and still listening, put yourself in the shoes of the people that you network with. You know, do you want to be approached about a product or a service? Do you want to feel like you're being sold to? You know, of course you don't. You know, a good networker will typically understand that. And they know, you know, by being a good networker, that they'll get their chance to sell or influence or whatever it is that they're there to do further down the line. I think people often network because they want help. You know, they want a leg up or a point in the right direction. So when you're networking, keep that at the forefront of your mind. And, you know, how can I help the people in this room, at this event, in my team, in my family even? Now, how can I help them achieve what they want? How can I make them feel better about something? How can I help them do something better? So keep those thoughts in your mind when you're networking. And this for me is really the key. You know, it makes you authentic, believable, trustworthy, helpful, nice even. You know, and if you look at businesses and people within them, they like working with people like that. You know, they don't like working with people that are trying to ram a product or a service down their throat necessarily. And I can think of countless examples, I guess, of, you know, when people have tried networking with me for personal gain, whether it's personal or business. You know, I probably get somewhere between 5 and 10 approaches every day on LinkedIn, you know, requesting a connection because they've got the latest piece of MarTech that I'd be mad to miss out on, or, you know, a special price for a ticket to the latest show that every CMO needs to be at. You know, all manner of things, to be honest. And, you know, I'd say from all the in-person interactions and online connection requests I get or receive or experience, that probably less than 1% of those networkers are authentically offering to help me in one way or another and not just sell to me. And coincidentally, I'd say that probably less than 1% get my attention. So networking, I think, you know, it also comes in many shapes and sizes. There's lots of ways we can network with, you know, peers and colleagues and potential customers. And, you know, look at mentor. And I know the BMC does a mentoring program. I'm very pleased to be a part of that. And, you know, I personally think it's a vital part of development, you know, not just for the mentee, but for the mentor as well. You know, typically a mentor would give his or her time up, you know, selflessly, really, for the benefit of someone else, for nothing material in return, other than that great feeling you get from, you know, imparting your many years of experience on someone that's typically at a different stage in their career, and helping them avoid some of the mistakes that you've typically made in your career, or in fact, sometimes letting them make them, because that's often how we learn best. I've mentored dozens of people, I guess, over my career. And guess what? You know, I can probably call upon any of them today for a chat, for a favour, for an introduction, you know, something that might be of a benefit to me materially or not. You know, and the point is, I've built that relationship based on authenticity. I've extended that network and strengthened it. I had a really interesting networking experience recently. Actually, I was introduced to a graduate who was looking for some advice, some career advice in marketing. And, you know, in typical networking fashion, she reached out to her dad. You know, first place you go when you've got a problem, right? And her dad had subsequently put her in touch with a friend of his who he played squash with, whose wife coincidentally worked with my wife in a recruitment business. And to cut a long story short, we spent about an hour and a half chatting on the first occasion around the different career paths that she could go down, you know, the positives and negatives of agency side versus client side, whether it was to be a B2B role or a B2C role. And she asked a ton of questions. You know, we then had another call the following week, and then another call, I think, the week after that. And she really impressed me because, you know, she'd not just done it with me at Red Store, but she'd gone and had the same level of conversations with lots of different people. She was speaking with a large agency. She was speaking with a small agency. You know, she'd looked at different roles and really sort of did her homework before trying to make a decision on what route she was going to go down from a career point of view. She'd networked really well and done her research properly. The following week, offered her a job, and now she's working within my team. And, you know, for me, that's a really good example of, you know, someone that was hungry and inquisitive. You know, I didn't even have an open vacancy at the time, but, you know, I've always said if a smart, ambitious and inquisitive person comes along, then you should find a way to hire them. And that's exactly what I did. I think also networking plays a very important part internally within the business that you work within. You know, it shouldn't just be exclusive to people that you don't know. Internal networking for me is really about building relationships and trust with your colleagues. I've got countless examples of, you know, when I've gone the extra mile for someone, or where they've gone the extra mile for me, and that's as a result of spending quality time networking and building those relationships internally. That's especially important as you progress in your career into more senior roles and get to a kind of leadership level, and even more so between teams that need to work seamlessly, sales and marketing being a really good example of that. Another key part and a sort of tip, I guess, around networking is finding common ground, you know, a mutual interest, you know, whether that's golf or motor racing or traveling, you know, or a simple love of beer or gin, whatever it may be, you know, sharing an interest with someone that you're trying to network with and build a relationship with makes it a lot easier and a lot more simple. Good example of that, I was recently invited to a corporate golf day, which I attended, hosted by a marketing agency. In fact, they tried a couple of times to get hold of me, And as crude as it is, the invite to a very nice golf course for a round of golf was the thing that swung it for me. But, you know, from their point of view, you know, they'd done their homework. They knew that I was a golfer. They'd gone and, you know, invited me to a place where I'd love to play golf. And as a result of that, had a captive audience of, I don't know, 10, maybe 12, you know, senior marketing prospects for pretty much the best part of the day, you know, lunch, breakfast and 4 hours on the course. As a result of that, we've engaged now and they're working on a proposal for a project that we've got for them to look at in the US. I'll start to wrap up, I guess, you know, in a nutshell. We've spoken about the fact that networking comes in many shapes and sizes. You know, there's the digital channels which are, you know, continuing to emerge. And we've got human interactions, which, you know, it's been difficult in the last 18 to 24 months with the pandemic that we've been through. I think we're going to see a resurgence of face-to-face networking. I've always said as well that, you know, one of the most common communication flaws is that often when networking, people listen to reply and they don't listen to understand. And, you know, I think that's a fundamental skill that you need to learn to become an effective networker. And the best ones in the world that I've ever met and worked with, you know, they've got a few traits. Firstly, they ask lots of questions. And they actually answer or listen, should I say, to those questions so that they can answer and understand, you know, what you're talking about. They do their homework, you know, so that they can establish some common ground and start that relationship off on the right foot. And most importantly, you know, they're people that offer something up for nothing in return. And I think that's probably the one takeaway that I'd give you all.
Gareth Case, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, Lauren Heaton, Andrew Ainsworth, Max Clark, and Gareth Case. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn, and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.